Okay, you said ASC first, Application Support Center. Mm-hmm. That's where you go to get your biometrics taken, your fingerprints, and your photograph. What was the second?
BALCA.
BALCA. Board of Alien Labor Certification Appeals.
Yep.
Okay. And
where employment-based dreams go to die.
right. So, BALCA is where you would appeal denials of perms. The third one?
BIA.
Oh, BIA.
It's where
Board of Immigration
Appeals.
Where
removal cases go to die.
Board of Immigration Appeals. Both BALCA and BIA are like the administrative appeals units within the department.
Yep. Yay.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, come on. All right.
Ooh, I can't believe we haven't hit the same one twice. What luck is that? Okay.
FAM, FOIA, and IOE.
Nobody's going to get IOE. Nobody's going to get IOE. Anybody know what IOE is?
I know where it comes up, and I know what it means.
IOE, it's those three digits that you get on your receipt notices. Sometimes you see that when you run that number to try and figure out what's happening with your application. Anybody know
at all? Electronically filed applications are going to have that receipt. They're going to start with those three letters on the receipt number. So usually, when you file a case with USCIS, you're going to every time you file a case with USCIS, you get a receipt.
Three letters,
and then the rest of the numbers. Three letters, then the last two digits of the fiscal year, and then whatever number. Of the case. The first three are...
Normally represent a service center. Where you filed it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a bunch of them that come out with this IOE. And we see it all the time. And nobody knows what it means. But...
We do.
Because we were very curious. So we did a little research to find out what it was. And... what it means is integrated operating envelope.
Wow.
And this is how they scan the receipts and they track the electronically, the way the envelope is done. That's how they track the files when it moves from one service center to another through adjudication.
Wow.
So when they...
processing cases get IOE numbers.
Yes, and when they transfer files, that's how they track them. And so that is why your file will get an IOE number. And sometimes when you run an IOE number, it will tell you it can't give you the processing times because it's been shifted. The work has been shifted from one processing center to another. And so they can't give you a real processing time because they can't really track it. Anyway.
That does not inspire confidence, but
that is
that
our fun
is
fact.
The way it is.
That was probably the hardest definition that we had in the book. Our paper.
And actually, there were a lot of definitions that I just knew them as words, and I totally forgot whether they meant things.
And we had to, do a little bit of research. Yeah. FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. Everybody does FOIAs these days. I'm sure everybody in this room is familiar with that term. The good news about FOIAs right now is that everyone is converting to a digital FOIA, which makes them much faster. And so we are seeing a lot of shift. I just saw one this week. I think it's for the courts that said they're shifting to a digital FOIA, which will make the turnaround time a lot quicker for us to get the documentation. FAM, Foreign Affairs Manual, lots of helpful information in that little booklet. It's good to look at it, and it's good to use it when you are responding to requests for evidence or notices of intent to deny, because it's nothing like using their own words against them when you are answering their request for evidence.
When they tell you that a document isn't a legitimate document from the person's country of origin, you can always verify that in the FAM in the reciprocity tables. The reciprocity table part of the FAM is everyone should refer to that anytime they're filing a case, and they're not sure if the document that they're submitting is the correct version of, say, a birth certificate, a death certificate, a divorce decree in the country of origin. The FAM will tell you what is acceptable documentation to show those kind of things.
And really, if you take the time to go back and look at these, at the FAM, at basic definitions, it's like a treasure trove of information. You're like, oh, I forgot what's in there. I haven't looked at this definition in a long time. We just get so accustomed to doing things the way we do them that when you go back and look at the actual definition, you're like, oh, wow, I wish I would have known that I could have used that in whatever case. So just a reminder to go back and look at the FAM and the adjudicator's field manual, which is just, you know, the U.S. side of it at the local when you're looking at adjustment of status versus Department of State and right. consular processing.
One more thing about the FAM. For those of you, because we are going to have a nationally known expert on citizenship cases speak tomorrow, is it?
Uh-huh. She's speaking twice tomorrow.
If you do these complicated acquired derivative citizenship cases, the FAM citizenship part is very, very instructional, very, very useful too. It also has, because we all know that when we do these cases, there's a history to it, right? If you're born within a certain time, you have to look at the chart and see what law applies. It is very, very specific about what law applies and what the requisites are and what they're looking at when they're doing citizenship cases at the Department of State. So it is very, very helpful for any of those cases. Okay.
Did I get the other one?
Oh,
I think that was all of them.
Okay. Yeah, that was it.